Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Adam Ballinger and Matt Rudolph with Graveyard Tales Podcast. They are back. It's been a while. It is also spooky season. And guess what we're going to talk about? Something kind of scary. We're going to talk about shadow people and the Hat Man, or some people call it the Top Hat Man. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, guys. First of all, I got to say something about Graveyard Tales Podcast. It's one of the best podcasts if you guys love paranormal stories or any kind of story that interests you when it comes to not even paranormal, just alien kind of stuff. I don't think that's necessarily paranormal. But guys, you've been doing this for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, a lot longer than we thought we would be doing. We actually started Friday the 13th in October of 2017.
Oh my God.
That was our first episode.
Wow. Yeah, I started in 2020, so you guys got 3 years on me. I can't believe I've been doing this for 5 years. It's just crazy.
Yeah, time flies.
Yeah, it does. So, are you guys ready to talk about shadow people and the Top Hat Man?
Always.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so this is kind of what I gathered, and you guys can tell me if you agree with it or if it sounds familiar or if you guys want to add stuff. What I have learned and what I've learned from people that I've interviewed, psychic mediums and channels and people like that, they all say that shadow people are like dark humanoid figures, and they're reported to be like appearing in the periphery of your vision. A lot of times they'll kind of hang out in doorways, or they hang out like above you when you're sleeping. It's one of those things where it's not fun, and you might even have like a sleep paralysis where you see them. Is that kind of what you guys think they are too?
Yeah, for the most part, from the research that we've done, that fits. Like the sleep paralysis thing, Matt and I were actually talking about that not too long ago. I have had sleep paralysis,
yes.
And I didn't see shadow figure per se, so I know that it can happen during sleep paralysis, but the majority of the stories that we've ran across are people on an investigation or people awake in their house.
Yeah.
So for me to say that it's all sleep paralysis and it's just hallucinations doesn't fit.
Yeah.
You know, I think Matt probably feels the same way.
Yeah, I've had some experience with shadow people.
Oh.
I've had shadow people in the house that I currently live in. And my dad has seen shadow people in the house that I grew up in.
Oh, my gosh.
And we would see these shadow figures usually at night. And usually it was in the hallway from the bedroom. And we had a listener send us some pretty good-sized pieces of black tourmaline.
Yeah.
So I took mine and I put it on the nightstand. And we haven't seen any shadow people since that time.
Wow.
So when Dad came to me and asked me about what he was seeing,
yeah.
I got him some. And it kind of chilled whatever was going on in their house, too.
Well, you know, it's funny you guys talk about this, because I know Adam had kind of the same thing. He got some black tourmaline, and I think he said he put it under his pillow, and he started sleeping better, because black tourmaline is a crystal, guys. It's a rock crystal, but it also gets rid of negative energy. It absorbs it, as far as we all know. So, and I actually have some myself, and I kind of get my little crystals out. I got all of it in Santa Fe, and I'm telling you, I got all kinds of different crystals. I got like, you know, clear quartz and black tourmaline and amethyst and all these Lumerian quartz, and I love them, and I hold them, and I put them on my legs, and I like draw tarot cards, and I'm doing all these weird things now because I'm all into this. And I tell you, it does help. They really make you feel good. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just a placebo effect or if it's just, hey, I feel good when I'm around these things.
Yeah, when I got the black tourmaline, I initially thought, okay, if it is just psychosomatic,
yeah,
and it's not really working, then I don't care, as long as it gives me some peace of mind.
Right.
But
yeah.
Over the years, I've seen too much evidence that there are, like, don't quote me on all crystals, because
yeah.
I don't know all that about crystals, but I know the black tourmaline really helps.
Yeah.
And I have a piece on a necklace that I'd make sure I wear if I go to any haunted place or anything like that, just as a precautionary thing. I wore it 24/7 for a long time until I knew that the sleep paralysis and stuff was gone. But with Matt's shadow people, to me, that proves that there's something more negative about shadow people than just a spirit.
Because
that's one of the theories that people have is, well, it's just a spirit, like you would see a ghost or something like that. But they manifest differently. And usually if you look directly at one, it disappears. It's usually out of the corners of your eye or fleeting across your vision or something. It doesn't stay around. But, I mean, it's got cultural roots all over the world.
Yeah.
From, you know, many centuries ago, people were seeing shadow figures. And they called them a bunch of different things. And one of the things we learned when we did our episode on shadow people is that term is actually more modern and was coined in 2001 by our predecessor, Art Bell, on Coast to Coast.
Oh, yeah, Art Bell. So. Yeah. Well, you know, also, I do think that shadow people can be a lot of different things. I think they can be negative. I think they can be possible Native American. I think they can also be just a visiting ghost that, you know, they just kind of gather up the energy and that's just what they look like to us because we're maybe seeing beyond a veil or beyond some kind of frequency or I'm not sure. But I do think that the ones that I always hear about that maybe reoccur, they don't seem too good. And I agree with you.
Yeah. The research that we did, it all came back to being more negative. That a spirit is one thing. And you'll see the ghost of maybe an ancestor or something in one way. But if you see a shadow figure, it's a whole different thing and usually more ominous.
Exactly. Like it always seems to associate the Hat Man with a negative experience.
Yes.
But just, you know, the garden variety shadow people, it's not always a negative thing. You know, you just, you kind of notice. But I like that idea that, you know, the veil is thin right there and you're just seeing through into another realm. But, you know, I've heard people theorize that you're seeing, you know, the shadow images of people maybe in a parallel dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you may be their shadow person.
Right. I agree.
And you've just come across an area that's, you know, where the divider is just really, really thin, you know, for various reasons.
Exactly. So you guys think that the Hat Man, the Top Hat Man, whatever they want to call it, do you think that's a totally different thing or do you think that's also associated?
Personally, I think it's a different thing. I think it looks similar, but like Matt was saying, there's usually something, like people will say there's an omen with the Hat Man, that it means something bad is going to happen if you see the Hat Man. And he's usually more of a solid figure, where the shadow people are fleeting and disappear quickly. The Hat Man will actually stick around. He looks more solid, and he always has that wide-brimmed hat on.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's weird to me that, like, if that was just your garden variety, like Matt said, shadow person, then why is he always wearing a hat?
Exactly.
You know, so to me, there's something different, and to lump them in is common, to lump them together, but I think there's a whole nother thing with the Hat Man.
Yeah. What do you think about it, Matt?
I agree with Adam. It just doesn't always fit other than maybe the shadowy appearance because the Hat Man doesn't really seem to be a fleeting thing. You know, you see him and you see enough of him that you can make out, you know, features. And, you know, with most shadow people experiences, you are only catching them in the periphery. You can't, you know, zero in and go, hey, right there is a shadow person.
Right.
But you seem to be able to with the Hat Man.
Yes. Yes.
Seems to be accompanied by like a feeling of dread or something from people who see him. And you don't hear that with just shadow people. People will say, oh, I was scared because I saw a shadow person. But when people say they ran into the Hat Man, they feel like he's watching them and they felt like intense dread. So we've said it for years, pay attention to your feelings because sometimes entities can't tell you what's going on, but they can make you feel a certain way.
Yes.
So I think the intense dread that people feel with the Hat Man is a clear sign that it's something more ominous.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Do you think the Hat Man could be like the Mothman, where he comes and kind of warns you of something that bad might happen?
Yeah, I don't know that, like, the Mothman, you see him before something bad happens, but he didn't cause it necessarily.
Right, right.
And I don't know if the Hat Man causes these problems that people have.
Yeah.
Or if he's just saying, hey, I'm here to watch because some crap's about to go down and I want to see it.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. Let's just theorize this. Let's say the Top Hat Man, the Hat Man, maybe it was a shadow person. Somebody kind of made out a top hat because that's just what they interpreted. It kind of got around. Now we've got a tulpa on our hands. Do you think that could have happened too?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like the Slender Man story.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Slender Man started out as a creepypasta.
Mm-hmm.
And then a video game. And then now you can actually find sightings of Slender Man. And I'm like, well, as our collective consciousness just manifested, you know, an entity that is similar to Slenderman.
Yeah.
Or like Siren Head is another one.
Yes.
You know, you hear people say they witnessed what appeared to be like a radio tower or something and it moved.
Mm.
But I mean, again, it all started as a fictional story.
Yeah.
But could we have, talking about it, researching it, thinking about it, you know, globally, actually produced these things?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think also because a lot of times when we're like depressed or maybe we're under the influence of something that we shouldn't be and we're addicted or whatever it is, sad or lonely or whatever it is, sometimes I think you can manifest things you don't want even without knowing what you're doing, even without even knowing anything about any of this. You can still manifest negative frequency, negative vibration, negative entities. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of them say they all look kind of similar. The shadow people, the top hat man. And some people I've interviewed never knew anything about them and they still saw them. But, you know, it's just crazy how you don't even have to know anything about it. And it is a collective thing, a collective consciousness thing.
Something you said, you know, under the influence of something or like depressed or whatever, there was quite a bit of research that Matt and I ran across that kind of tied your mental state mm-hmm. to attachments. And we looked at it in our episode we did on demonic attachments,
yes.
But it can also happen with other stuff that these entities will prey on what they consider a weakened state.
Yes.
So if you're under the influence of something mm-hmm. and you don't have all your faculties about you, you are not able to defend yourself basically from the entity.
Right.
And it same goes if you're like super depressed or something like that, mm-hmm. you may be opening a door for this entity to come in. So that's something to think about. Maybe the Hat Man isn't causing the bad stuff to happen. You just, you know, you're down on your luck or something, and he's taking advantage of that and
yes.
now attaching himself to you in a way.
I agree, you know, because you're almost inviting him in and he's feeding off all your negative because, you know, a lot of people that I've heard talk about this, they were really badly addicted to whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever. And it's like they couldn't get out of it until they got off of the influence of whatever they were under. And once they got out of that, you know, it's like the thing that maybe was attaching, whether it was a top hat man, whatever, it couldn't hold on. It couldn't stay with it, you know, because you've got a better outlook. You're more positive. You're happier about yourself. You're proud of yourself. And all those energies don't jive with the top hat guy.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing is so weird because Matt and I have, I can't tell you how many topics we've looked into mm-hmm. over the years. But the shadow people and the Hat Man seem to tie several different paranormal theories together.
Mm.
So I think even in the episode we did on it, now we don't normally come up with a conclusion for anything.
Right.
We're usually just talking about it and then want to know what the listeners think.
Right.
But I think we were even more confused on that than any other episode we've done.
Yeah, because I was watching Ghost Hunters the other day. I still love all that, and I can watch them on HBO Max because they've got fairly new episodes on that, by the way, everyone. And one of the people was reporting a shadow figure, and not the top hat man, but a shadow figure. They caught it, and it literally looked like a spirit that just manifested that way. And maybe somehow the camera or the person or both just saw through the veil and saw it, or it was able to manifest through the veil and you could see it. And it doesn't necessarily, I think, have to be a bad thing. People associate, you know, black figures, gray, dark, misty figures with really evil things. And I don't know if that's always correct.
Yeah, I think you're right that people associate that, but I don't know if that's true or, you know, Matt, do you think there's anything two different entities have different visual appearances to kind of portray what they are, or do you think we put that on?
Well, honestly, I don't know, but I think that our mental images of what things should look like or what we've been told they look like play more into that than anything else. And, you know, I've always thought because it is so out of the norm for a human,
yeah,
that we have to make sense of it. And so we've given it the shape. And when that is suggested and it's in the back of your mind, mm-hmm, you're going to assign that to it. Much like a lot of people believe that movies like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, mm-hmm, and Whitley Strieber's book Communion is where the idea that gray aliens look like that.
Yeah.
You know, that they have the large head and the, yes, large black eyes and the thin, short bodies, because that's what we have to go on. That was the suggestion.
Yes.
And so now, if anybody says they had an alien encounter, then it typically comes out going, oh, well, that was a gray alien.
Right.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe whatever you saw, your brain assigned that because that's what you expected to see. If you see a shadow entity and it's solid enough that you can tell that it's with you, it's coming towards you or whatever,
yeah,
that your brain assigns that image of the Hat Man to it, whether it's really there or not.
Exactly. And I think you're right, Matt. I think we associate whatever we see with what we're used to seeing, what we want to see, and what we expect to see, and we make it that. Especially if you've ever heard of the Hat Man. It's always a man. Could it be a woman? Do we know?
I don't know that male or female can necessarily be considered when we're talking about entities
like
this.
That's true.
I think that's a human bias.
Yeah.
That we assign our own characteristics to whatever this is,
yeah,
so that your brain can attempt to make sense of it. It's like the color magenta. You know, the color magenta doesn't really exist. There's no wavelength of light that produces magenta. Your brain makes it that way, you know, because it can't make sense of the blues and the reds. And it creates a color, and that's what we see. But if you look at your computer screen, if you look at your printer cartridge, you know exactly, well, that's magenta. If,
yeah,
you,
right,
drive by a T-Mobile, you're like, dang, that's magenta.
Right.
You know, even though that's only what your brain is creating.
Yeah.
So as far as the Hat Man, it's a man, it's a hat, it's whatever. Your brain is making sense of that, mm-hmm, because it doesn't truly understand what it is you're witnessing.
Yeah. You know, also, I've heard people talk about they could be interdimensional aliens. And I just looked at my notes and was like, you're absolutely right. A lot of people, Matt, have said, could it be some kind of alien encounter? And I think it could be too.
I think it could be. I think we don't know enough.
Yeah.
So any of this is all just theory. So I think at this time, any theory is, you know, plausible. Personally, I think that the Hat Man in particular, not necessarily shadow people, but,
yeah,
the Hat Man in particular, you could very well manifest the Hat Man yourself.
Yeah.
You know, with something that you feel, you know, maybe you feel yourself to be sensitive or a medium or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and it's less of it's coming to you and more of you bringing it,
I agree,
to you unconsciously.
Yeah.
I've always kind of thought that Hat Man thing is you're drawing that closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being attracted to you. You're pulling it,
right,
and you're having these experiences. Much like poltergeist activity.
Yes.
Yeah, it may be that it's not necessarily that your house has a poltergeist. It's that you're pulling that poltergeist activity to you.
Yeah.
You know, for whether it's you know, something that's subconscious, something that is, you know, a lot of people believe that it's related to hormones,
yes,
you know, because of the way they can affect your body. And we know that, you know, your personal hormones can affect people around you,
yes,
without them even realizing it. Mm-hmm. So what if it doesn't just affect another person? It could affect that spiritual realm as well.
Absolutely.
And
great
you're
point.
Pulling things toward you at that time.
Mm-hmm. Because I've heard of poltergeists. I've heard of them affecting and maybe even hurt, not necessarily hurting people, but throwing things around, things are moving.
Right.
I've never heard of like a shadow person or a top hat man hurting anyone. I mean, maybe I just haven't heard enough about it.
I can't say that we came across any stories of any kind of physical attack.
Yeah.
I know that there are people that have stories of having a choking sensation or that something is sitting on their chest.
Okay.
Like the old hag that often gets lumped
yes.
in when you talk about the shadow people or the hat man.
Yes.
The old hag.
Yes.
Also, it, you know, and her gig is, I'm going to sit on your chest. I'm going to make you feel like you're suffocating.
Right.
You know, with the old hag, you can actually tell. It has this presented female form.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem to fit, but the way she appears seems to be similar to how people experience the hat man.
Yeah. So. And just like I said before, I think there are just negative energies like lurking around no matter what we do. I mean, there's just different frequencies, just like I think there's different levels of like heaven, you know, not everybody goes to the exact same place. I think there are so many different levels of going there. Like if you're a bad person, you may not go to hell. I don't believe in hell, but you may not go as high as maybe someone else that really didn't do all the bad things you did, you know? So, and that may be how it works here. Like there just may be different frequencies. And we're seeing some of the frequencies when we are depressed or, you know, addicted to something. And then we're also not seeing anything and we're not even touched by anything when we have good things in our lives. But sometimes when you just have the bad sleep paralysis and you start seeing the shadow people in your periphery or you have sleep paralysis, you know, that what's it called? The gamma acid in your and glycine or whatever, that's a drug that keeps you from walking in your sleep, you know. So my point is, first of all, take some black tourmaline with you or put it under your pillow like Adam did, and then he had it in his necklace. I think that's the moral of the story. Don't get addicted to anything and carry black tourmaline.
Yeah, I had to put some black tourmaline in my son's bathroom.
What?
There's a lot of negative energy in there.
But I'm pumped.
Teenagers.
Right.
Yeah. Well, guys, I want to talk about your podcast. I want to talk about your favorite things. Matt, you go first. What's your favorite thing that you talk about on the podcast? And Adam, you go next.
Oh, man. This is always such a hard question.
It is.
I really get into the things that could potentially be real, but we don't understand.
Yeah.
Like time travel, mm-hmm. you know, time travel and time slips. There are so many stories, and some people really buy into them. Some people just completely debunk them.
Yeah.
They're like, this is absolutely absurd. It's totally made up. It was a hallucination or something. But some of the people that have stories like that are, I mean, they had something to lose. I mean, they're like, this is something you should totally keep to yourself.
Yeah.
It shakes them so much that they have to tell this story.
Yeah.
Much like that British pilot that was making that flight and saw an airfield with, you know, planes, you know, crew. And, you know, it was an airfield that was completely closed. It had been just completely shut down. There was no reason that there should be any activity there at all, much less planes and people.
Well, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to say something because, you know, quantum physics, they do talk about there are time slips. We are different frequencies. There's different dimensions. They have discovered them. They have talked about them. There's a calculation for them. So why couldn't we, if we're flying really fast or we're doing whatever, or we go through some kind of dimensional pull somewhere, why couldn't we slip a little bit in time? I think a ghost is slipping in time. You know, I might be someone else's ghost in the past and they may be looking at me in the future. You know, I mean, there's no time on the other side. My favorite things to talk about on my podcast are the near-death experiencers. None of them know each other. They all have really different experiences, but every single one of them say, I felt more real there than I did here. I can't believe I thought I was that person when I'm this entity up here. This feels like home. And I'm like, what? So do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you go further, say, beyond just other dimensions, when you look at the multiverse theory, that there are just layers and layers and loops, you know, upon loops of these alternate realities that may be virtually identical to the one that you feel like you're in at the moment.
Yeah.
And you casually come across an event that you're like looking through a window.
Yes.
And it's totally real. It's just in a different level of the multiverse. And you've just come across that area where it's the thinnest and you see it briefly, but in some cases, you know, like in the case where the traveling couples in Europe stopped at that little town.
Yes.
And they thought, oh, this is so cute. You know, they're all in period clothing.
Yeah.
And they're asking, you know, where's the highway? And the people are looking at them like, what is wrong with you? What is a highway?
What are you talking about? Well, like an Interstellar. I mean, he's in space and he's a long way away. So like 20 minutes for him is 20 years here. So, and then he's looking into, you know, he went through the black hole or whatever, and then he's seeing dimensions in different time periods of his children. He's trying to knock the books off the wall to let him know it's him or whatever, but he's seeing it all. I mean, obviously we will not have the answers today, but I'm just saying, I think it's absolutely true. And there was an actual, I think it was a physicist that helped them with the calculations and the possibilities that could happen if they went that deep into space, that would happen.
Yeah, I think when you take your corporeal form out of the equation and you say, well, what if my consciousness, my spirit, my soul, whatever you want to call it, I know my human body is not going to be able to travel through space and time, but wouldn't my consciousness be able to? Humans can't travel at the speed of light, but wouldn't my consciousness possibly be able
to
do that?
Yes.
And when you bring that into the mix, then it's all bets are off.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like anything is possible at that point.
I agree. Okay, it's your turn, Adam. What's your favorite things to talk about?
Usually for me, it's cryptozoology. Yes. It's any of the, like, Bigfoot or any of the lake monsters or anything like that. The way I look at it is it doesn't necessarily have to be something paranormal.
Right.
It could simply be a creature that we haven't discovered yet.
I agree.
And we're doing that all the time. In the rainforest, the Amazon, they're finding lizards and snakes and stuff that we didn't know existed.
We know nothing about our oceans. I mean,
Right. So to say that a creature that is like a shark but has octopus tentacles on it could not exist,
right?
I don't necessarily believe that. Now, have I seen it? No. Is it hard to believe? Sure.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of deep sea creatures that, like the blobfish, that are hard to believe.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, like, we talk about Bigfoot often.
Yeah.
And I think I talked to you about Bigfoot one time too.
A couple times.
I don't like the people that say there's absolutely no way Bigfoot could exist because we don't have any physical proof of it.
Right.
Well, tell that to the many generations of people that have seen him, seen families of them, have footprint cast. Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, who just passed away, sadly, was a primatologist.
Yeah.
That was what he went to college for, and he taught primatology, and then he also did primate footprints, and he had a huge collection of supposed Bigfoot footprints.
Wow.
And I like the way he always said it was, you know, we have evidence that there is a creature out there that we call Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's something out there.
I agree.
And that's the way I feel with a lot of these cryptids that, you know, we have a bunch of witnesses for.
Yeah.
Like the Chupacabra, the Bigfoot, the Yeti, Nessie. The lake monsters here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, these people aren't just making that up.
Right.
One or two, maybe. But like Matt has said before, take both ends of the spectrum and get rid of those experiences. You're still left with a huge chunk in the middle that actually did see something.
I agree. Yeah, I think they're very smart and they're probably interdimensional and they are smarter than we think and they come and go when they want and they know how to get away from people, but they do leave certain things behind. And I think it's just a matter of time before we find bones.
Yeah, and y'all were just talking about time slips. These creatures could, if time slips exist,
yes,
then these creatures could be slipping through little wormholes.
Absolutely.
From their time into our time.
Absolutely.
And Bigfoot could be Homo Neanderthalus or something like that that is moving. You know, that was our predecessor, one of,
yes,
the humanoids that lived many, many moons ago, and they're just happen to be slipping through a wormhole, and we see them occasionally, and they slip back. Same with Nessie,
yes,
which they say is a plesiosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe there's a wormhole something near or in Loch Ness, and she just happens to swim through occasionally,
right,
from the time when the plesiosaur actually did live on Earth. But Matt and I have said this recently, that we can't wait for the day that we find out what Bigfoot actually is.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Like, I'm not set on this has to be,
yeah,
a Gigantopithecus. This,
right,
has to be. I don't care what it is. I just want to see the day that we go, okay, this is the creature that has been known as Sasquatch and Bigfoot for centuries.
Yeah.
And this is what we're seeing. Now, do I wish it was like maybe a proto hominid, one of our ancestors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool that, yeah, one of our ancestors survived to present day and they just happen to live out in the wilderness where we don't see them, and they know to stay away from Homo sapiens because they're bad.
Probably,
and so,
yeah,
they stay to themselves and hide from us. That's why I think we don't have dead bodies. One reason is,
yeah,
because they bury their dead.
Yeah.
The other reason is, like Matt and I have said many times, go out into the woods. Mm-hmm. Go walk through the woods. How often do you find a bear carcass laying somewhere?
Right.
I've been in the woods a bunch in my life,
mm-hmm,
and I know there are bear in those woods.
Yeah.
But not once have I stumbled across a bear carcass, because nature cleans up after itself.
Exactly. No.
And
yeah,
I think that could be happening with Bigfoot. They're out there, and we just haven't come across one recently deceased enough to be able to get evidence of it.
Yeah.
But the more expeditions that people go on for Bigfoot and the Yeti, the more evidence we find of it.
Yeah.
So I could talk for 3 hours about cryptozoology because it fascinates me, but those are usually my favorite topics. And there's been some months that Matt has picked the haunted places and I've picked the cryptid places. He'll go, what about we do this haunted place? And I'll go, okay, that sounds good. What about if we do this cryptid? And he's like, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So
listen, that's why you work so well together. And guys, this is the kind of shows you're going to hear on Graveyard Tales. And they've been doing it for so long. They're so good at it. It's a great podcast. They've got a great Facebook group. And I even think you guys have merch. And I know you have a website. So tell me about the website.
Matt, that's you in our episode. So you got to get.
Well, our website is where you can find all the information about the show. We have links where you can actually listen to the show directly from the website.
Mm.
That's where the links to our merch store is. And, you know, we've got everything from t-shirts to coffee mugs to baby onesies. You know, you can get, we've got several different designs of our logo that are available there, posters and whatnot. And that's also where you can access our bonus content through Patreon, which will give you access to our shorter but different bonus episodes, which we do. You know, we have 3 or 4 a month bonus episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They usually run anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes, and we talk about a variety of topics, not necessarily paranormal. You know, it's just, you know, whatever, you know,
sure,
something cool, a true crime story,
yeah,
or we're just, you know, kind of hashing something out back and forth. So nothing too serious, but you can also get video episodes. You can actually see Adam and I while we're recording the show.
Nice.
But we have another show that's behind a paywall,
mm-hmm,
called SideQuest.
Okay.
We tell about it is not Graveyard Tales.
Are you saying there might be some language involved?
Yes. It's not Graveyard Tales with a twist. You know, it's not uncensored Graveyard Tales. It is something totally different.
Yeah.
And it's just Adam and I having a lot of fun.
And it's uncensored. So our main show, Graveyard Tales, is PG-13. So when we talk about stuff, we might use innuendos or whatever, but you know, on Graveyard Tales, we talk like we're around our kids.
Right.
So we don't get too graphic with anything. SideQuest is Matt and I uncensored and just talking like if you were hanging out with us.
Sure.
So, you know, there is cussing on that. And there's a little more than innuendos on that. We make the jokes and stuff. So it's fun. I remember when we first started and we said, all right, we're gonna go PG-13. So, you know, more people can listen. Our kids can listen.
Yeah.
We had at least two people message us and go, why aren't y'all cussing? Y'all know y'all can cuss, right? And I'm like, I know I can cuss. I do it all the time. I'm intentionally not doing
right.
it here. So I always say, if you're one of those people that said, why don't y'all cuss? Well, go see SideQuest. You can listen to us cuss on there.
Right, right. That is hilarious. And guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add all of their information on my show notes. And again, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You guys were fantastic. You gave me some things to think about when it comes to the shadow people and the Top Hat Man. And even, hey, Matt, even some interdimensional stuff, dude.
It's fun to talk about.
It is. Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Leslie.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.